Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Dalet. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written Tzavtzifa. Tzavtzifa is a type of plant that the Gemara excludes from being acceptable as the Arava. We learned in our previous year that the Torah expression Arvei Nachal comes to include all kinds of, we'll call them Aravas. We don't want to translate the term Arava because that could be misleading, but as long as the plant has the characteristics of an Arava, it will be acceptable. The tzavtzifa, as we said, is a plant that we exclude as not being acceptable. Let's now turn to the Gemara text, Tonu Rabbanan. This diamond is a continuation of the diamond marking that we were using in our previous year, when we saw a series of drushos on the Pasuk Arvei Nachal. So we're continuing with that series here. The Pasuk says Arvei Nachal in the context of that which you are to take on the Sukkot holiday, along with your Lulav and Esrog and your Hadassim, Hagedelois al Hanachal. The Pasuk refers to a type of Arava that grows on a river, grows on a river bank. Prat l'tzavtzifa hagdelo bein ha'horim, to the exclusion of the tzavtzifa plant that grows amongst mountains. The Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of the Masichta, has an illustration of the tzavtzifa in picture 539, which you'll find at the bottom of page 107. Omar Rebbe Zera, my craw. What is the pasuk that shows the, we'll say, the invalidity or the disqualification of the tzavtzifa, or as Rashi terms it, the tzavtzifa legriusa, that it's a, we'll call it a negative plant. It's to the exclusion of being something acceptable, it's unacceptable. So what pasuk indicates that it's unacceptable? So the we should note, before we continue, the structure of this Gemara. We have a Roman numeral 1 over here. A few lines later, Roman numeral number 2. In the middle of the line later, you see a squiggle underlining, Iko de Masni Law. That indicates an alternative version. So that in this version, we have Rebbe Zera quoting the Pasuk. In the next version, the Roman number 2 version has the Pasuk as part of the Tanaic source, and Rebbe Zera enters the discussion in a questioning fashion. We'll also see a double underlining, which in both cases the same expression appears. The Dilma Perushe Kamafarish means it's maybe the Pasuk is coming to explain as opposed to show a negative quality. And in the first Lashon, Abaye raises that possibility. And in the second Lashon, it is Rebbe Zera who raises that possibility. So far, it might sound a little abstract, but what we're trying to do is just to point out the differences between the two versions of the Gemara. So in this case, the Gemara, with Rebbe Zera, opens the discussion, asking what is the pasuk that indicates that the tzavtzifa is unacceptable. So the pasuk says, "Kach almayim rabim tzavtzifa somoi." And for the time being, the general gist of the pasuk is the Chachamim Rabim means, and Rashi explains this, it's a reference to a plant that is rooted and grows by plentiful water supplies, and that plant has now become turned into something else, a tzavtzafa. So, Omar le Abaye, v'dilma pirushi komeforesh, maybe the pasuk is the latter part of the pasuk explains the earlier part of the pasuk, namely not as a change that took place, that something started out as that which grows by a plentiful water supply and then changes into something negative, something that grows in a dry area, but rather the pasuk is explaining itself as follows: Kach almayim rabim umaynihu tzafsefa. That which is kach almayim rabim, that which grows by plentiful water supplies, is in fact the tzafsefa. So the Gemara answers, if that were the case, imkein mai somoi. Somo means they placed themselves as. The fact that the word somo appears in the pasuk, it indicates that they did something to the contrary. And now, as we go on in the Gemara, Rabbi Avo explains the pasuk. He explains, we gave the nuance of how you see that Tzafsefa is negative, that's by the virtue of the word Samo, but Rabbi Avo gives a further explanation. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Omarti, the Almighty says, I had planned, Shiyu Yisrael Lefone Kekacha Mayim Rabim, that the Jewish people shall be with me as a Kacha Mayim Rabim. And that's an expression for, we're reading it as a phrase, Umayinu, and what is Kacha Mayim Rabim? Arova. The Arova plant grows generally where there's a plentiful water supply. So I intended the Jews to be characteristic of that which is found with a plentiful water supply, which is, of course, a blessing. V'hein somu atzmon ketzavtzefo shebharim. But they made themselves like the tzavtzefo plant, which grows in mountainous areas where you don't have a plentiful water supply. And the idea is that they, through their sins and a decision not to follow my ways, so they thereby deprived themselves of receiving the Almighty's blessing of plenty. Iko de masni lo lahai kro amasnisa. There are those that teach this pasuk as part of the Tanaic source. We quoted above a source, Arve Nochal, and at the source that we opened up today, Shuath, ending with Prat Letzavsak Dine Ben Orim, and as part of the source, the pasuk was quoted, because the pasuk also makes reference to Tzafsefa, just like the Tanaic source referred. So there are those that teach the pasuk as part of the source. Kach almayim rabim tzafsefa samay. So they teach that pasuk as part of the source, and upon hearing the source, maskiflo Rabbi Zera asks, how does the pasuk show you that the tzafsefa is to be excluded? The Dilma Perushe Komeforish, maybe the pasuk is to be understood as something that is explaining itself. Kach almayim rabim umaynihu tzafsefa, that the tzafsefa is that which grows by plentiful water supplies, and that it doesn't show me a contrast between that which grows by mayim rabim in opposition to the tzafsefa, but rather the tzafsefa is that which grows by mayim rabim, by plentiful water supplies. So that's, in this version, that's Rabbi Seiro's question. In the first version, Abaye asked this question. So the Gemara answers, im kain mai somoi. If the pasuk is perushi kamaforish, as was suggested, that the pasuk is coming to explain itself, then what is the role of the word somo doing? Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as we said before, Rabbi Avo explains the Pasuk, and here it's the same as the Gemara above. The Almighty said, Ani Amarti Shisrael Lefonai Kekach HaMayim Rabim, I intended for the Jewish people to be like that which grows by a plentiful water supply, Umayniu Arava. The Arava plant is like that. V'hein Samu Atzmon Ketzafzefo Shebaharim, and they placed themselves through not following my ways like the Tzafzefo plant, which is in contrast to the Arava, which doesn't grow by plentiful water supplies, but rather is found amongst the mountains. Tonu Rabbona, E Zehu Arava V'Ezeru Tzafzefo. Here we have a source that helps identify the plants, the Arava on the one hand, and the Tzafzefo on the other hand. So first the Arava. Arava Koneshala Odoim, the stem of the Arava is red. The Olav Shala Moshuch, and its leaf is elongated. Upiha Cholok, and the rim of the leaf, the edge of the leaf, is smooth. Tzafzefo, the Tzafzefo plant, Koneshala Lovan, its stem is white. And its leaf is roundish in shape. Upiha doimelamako, and the edge of the leaf is similar to a magal, a sickle. The Hotanya, and for our purposes, doimelamako means it's not a smooth edge, but rather it has teeth in it. Or jagged. V'ho Tanya, but do we not have a source that says Dome Lamagel Kosher Dome Lameser Puzzle? If it looks like a magel, it's kosher. Now, if you notice the dashed underlining, this helps you to contrast this source with the source just before. Before, Dome Lamagel was part of a Tzatzifa description, something negative. And here, Dome Lamagel is described as kosher, Dome Lameser Puzzle. If it's like a messer is another type of cutting utensil, then it is unfit. So what we see now in the Gemara is Abaye explains the difference. Omar Abaye, ki tanyo hahi bechilfo gila. Abaye says that the source that said doyme lamagel is kosher, that's with regard to the chilfo gila. The chufagila is a type of arava that is kosher. However, it is pointed out, Rashi explains, it's a type of arava that's kosher, but it happens to have a non-smooth-edged as leaf. But other aravas are, in fact, smooth-edged. The Rashi adds, and the Rashi here is very important for explaining this Gemara, and we should also take advantage of the Pirush Chai. Illustration 539 should be available, where you see the edge of the Tzafzefo. Notice how the teeth appear there, and also have the illustration. The illustration at the top of 108 available as well. So what we do now is we look at the Rashi. V'hotanya doyme lamagel kosher. The Rashi that we're looking at is on the first of the widest lines under the Tosfos commentary. Magel kotzir pegimuseha kulon noitos litzad echad. The magel kotzir is a type of implement where all of the teeth appear in one direction, and he adds akumos klapi beis yad shelo, they're bent toward the handle. Meser hi megera, it's a saw. Shikorin is a French word. Upegimoseha hochos noichichoi, and the teeth. And you can see this in illustration 540. The teeth are, we'll say, perpendicular, jutting outwards. V'lohem Shnei Uktsin, Echod Mikan Vechod Mikan, Kepikimos Sakin. It's similar to a standard serrated knife. So the Chilfa Gila that the Gemara mentioned is a type of plant that does have teeth around its edge, and it's similar to the Magal, and that we saw already explained in the Rashi, where the teeth were not jutting outwards but were curved. And in fact, that kind of appearance, you could see if you look at the picture on 539, there's a bays in the caption, the bottom of page 107 of the Pirush Chai. There Rashi says pia doime lamagol, and that is what the Abaye is telling me is what is kosher. But let's emphasize here, be very careful, the tzafzafa has teeth that would be characteristic of if it were an arava, so the teeth would be okay. However, the tzafzafa is not okay, it's a round type leaf. But if it were an elongated leaf with teeth like that, then it would be okay. However, a leaf that has teeth that appear as you see in picture 540, that would not be acceptable. So Abaye just told us that the brisa that says doyma lamagul kosher, that's a reference to the chilfa gila plant, which we saw before in Rashi is a type of arova. Omar Abaye shma mino hai chilfa gila kosher lahoshana. Abaye then concludes that since the brisa that says doyma lamagul kosher is the chilfa gila, so it is acceptable for the hoshana, for the lulav of sukkis. Pshita, well, that's obvious. Once you're telling me that chilfa gila is the doyma lamagul kosher, so of course it's kosher. So what does Abaye have to say that the chilfa gila is kosher for the lulav? So mahu detema, one might have thought hoyel v'is leishem levai loynis kasher, since it's not called arova, it's called chilfa gila. It has a nickname, or non-official, its name is not a rover per se, so maybe that's reason not to accept it. Komash Molon, so Abaye is telling me it is still acceptable. Question, V'eima Hochinami, maybe in fact we should say thusly, that since it has this unusual, or this non-arova name, Shem Levi, it is not acceptable. The Gemara answers, don't worry about that. Arve nachal om rachmona, the Torah uses the expression arve nachal mikol makom, which means under all circumstances. So that even if it's a plant that's not called official arava, but it's a type of arava, even if it has this this accompanying name to it, it nevertheless is acceptable. So through the Gemara's understanding of the term Arvei Nachal, it is an inclusive expression. But just to review, it's an inclusive expression, and we've seen that we're willing to include Aravos even if they don't grow by the river. We've learned this, and we learned this in our shiur. Yes, in our previous shiur. And we see that even if it doesn't have a smooth edge, it's still okay. However, there are basic requirements that the arava has, even though the Torah is inclusive, but it's not inclusive to the extent that will include even a round-leafed plant like the tzatzafa. As we go on in the Gemara, the Gemara deals with items whose names have changed in the course of time, and specific reference is made here to at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There were changes that took place in nomenclature. So Omar Rav Chisda, Hani Tlas Mili Ishtini Shmayu Mechichorav Beis HaMikdash. The topic heading, by the way, on the side, we have a triangle. Lamai nafgamina, bedvorim shenishtanu shmom achar hachurban. The Gemara wants to know what practical value is there in knowing about these name changes or name switch arounds. So Rav Chisda says the following three items had their names changed at the time of the Beis HaMikdash destruction. Chilfasa, Arvasa, Arvasa, Chilfasa. Something that was used to, there were originally, there was a plant called Chilfasa, and there was a plant called Arvasa, and now that which was called Chilfasa is Arvasa, and that which was once Arvasa is now Chilfasa. My nafgamina, lulav. The practical difference is regarding the lulav, meaning nowadays, if you want to buy if you want to buy something for your lulav, you would ask for a chilfasa, because the chilfasa today is what originally was the arvasa. Rashi points out that the term chilfasa here is not the chilfa gila before, but rather it's something else. And Rashi says it's the tzavtzafa. So don't confuse the term chilfasa here with chilfa gila that we had before. So that, just to review this point, the originally, before the temple destruction, there was something called chilfasa or tzavtzafa, and there was something called arvasa. And at that time, the arvasa was the arava we use for a lulav. But now, since the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, they got switched around. Another example of name changes. Shipura Chatzotzrosa. Chatzotzrosa Shipura. Shipura is a shofar. So originally, a shofar was a shofar, and a chatzotzra, which you might translate as a horn, a straight type instrument, as opposed to a shofar, a ram's horn, which is a curved instrument coming from from an animal. Now, after the Beis HaMikdash, they got switched around, so that originally that which was a shofar is now called chatzotzrasa, and that which originally was a chatzotzrasa is now a shipura. My nafgamina, of what importance is this information? L'shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. In order, you have to know what to ask for if you want to acquire a shofar for Rosh Hashanah purposes. So nowadays, you would ask for a chatzotzrasa. Psorta, psora, psora, psorta. These are tables. One is a large table and one is a small table. So that which originally was the term for the large table is nowadays the term for the small table, and vice versa. L'maynaf gamina, l'mekach u'memkar. The practical point, knowledge here is for business purposes. In other words, if you want to you want to make a deal from a supplier, purchaser of a manufacturer of tables, and you want to buy a large table, so you have to know the appropriate term that's used nowadays for a large table, and you'll clinch the deal using that term if that's what you're interested in buying. Omar Abai Af Ani Omer. And Abai says, I too have name changes, examples of name changes. And this example comes from the realm of trephos. Trephos is the realm of, organ deficiencies that would render a kosher variety animal unkosher. The term trepho is probably familiar to many of you, and in this particular case, trephos has to do, as we say, with organ deficiencies as opposed to unkosher variety animals. Even though nowadays we use the term trepha as an umbrella expression, technically speaking, unkosher variety animals are referred to by the Torah as behemos tameos. In the realm of trephos, which are organ problems, the Gemara here, Abaye, makes reference to a part of the stomach. The kosher variety animals have several stomachs as part of their digestive system. two of these organs are referred to. One is called the Beikosi or Beis HaKosos, and the other is called the Huvlila. The Huvlila, Rashi uses a French word for that. Whatever the case is, what you have to know is that the Beis HaKosos is an organ that has very thick walls to it. And as a result of that, if you slaughter an animal and you find a needle that's partially embedded in the wall of the Beis HaKosos, that will not render it unkosher because it has a very thick protective wall to it. So a needle that's partially embedded will not render the animal unkosher. However, if you find a needle embedded in the wall of the Huvlila, even if it's not penetrating it completely, it nevertheless is viewed as if it is totally penetrated. A hole in these organs, a hole that runs through and through, would certainly render the animal unfit. But we're focusing right now on the scenario of the needle found partially embedded in the wall. So, Abaye says, Beikosi huvlila, huvlila beikosi, means that once there was the thick-walled organ was called Beis HaKosos, and the thinner-walled organ was called huvlila, but nowadays the thick-walled organ is called the huvlila, and the thin-walled organ is called beikosi. Lamai nafgamina, what practical difference is there for us? Lamachat hanimsa bu'uve Beis HaKosos, for the case of the needle found embedded in the wall of the Beis HaKosos. So nowadays, if you found a needle embedded in that which they call huvlila, that would not render the animal unfit, because that which they call today huvlila, in fact, is the original Beis HaKosos. Omar Rova Bar Yosef, Af Ani Omer. I have also something to say about name changes. This has to do with geography. Bovel, Bursif, Bursif, Bovel. These are two regions. One region is called Bovel and the other called is Bursif. But in the course of time, the names of the regions got switched around. Lamai, and more continues at the top of Omid Beis, Lamai Nafkamina, what practical difference is there for me in knowing this? Legite Noshim, it has relevance for the realm and halachas concerning divorce documents. It is explained at length in Rashi that a divorce document has to be written with proper intent, which we call lishma. It has to be prepared with the specific couple who is getting divorced, with them in mind. And not all regions were aware or were familiar with this halacha. So that if you have an agent, a shliach, bringing a divorce document from outside of Eretz Yisrael, the assumption being that divorce documents that were prepared in the land of Israel, they were expert in it. But the outlying Jewish communities, this level of expertise could not be assumed. An exception being Bovel. There's more than what I'm explaining right now. There's the issue of Kium of Edim, but I don't want to complicate matters with too much information. We'll stick with this issue, this example of Lishma. So, as we said, in Eretz Yisrael and in Bovel, they were expert. Nowadays, and therefore, an agent bringing a get from a place other than Bovel would have to make a declaration, the expression being Befonai Nechtav or Befonai Nechtam, which would be essentially information sufficient for us to know that it was prepared properly, and hence the get would be acceptable even if it's not from Bovel. However, Gittin coming from Bovel, so it was unnecessary to make for the Shaliach, for the agent who's conveying the divorce document to from the man to the woman, from one country to the other, he would not have to make that declaration had he been bringing it from Bovel. What if he was bringing it from Bursif? So of course, the shliach would have to say, Befonai nechta, fonai nechtam. So nowadays, an agent who comes from Bursif is coming from the area that was originally called Bavel. So the agent would not have to make the declaration if he was bringing a get nowadays from Bursif. And to the contrary, someone nowadays bringing a get from a region that's called nowadays Bavel would have to make that declaration. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to assume that it was done, that the get was prepared with proper intention. As we continue, we have a new Mishnah and also a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, Bedalid Minim Kamo Tzorach Mikol Min Ubeizim Matziv. And we're going to say this is a Machlokes Tanim. So when we're dealing with the Lul of Esrog, Hadassah Mavros, we want to know how many of each one are necessary, and in what condition are the various plants. And this topic we'll find to be a Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the Mishnah starts, Shloisha Hadasim Ushtei Arovos Lulav Echod V'Esrog Echod. This is familiar by way of numbers, 3 Hadasim, 2 Arovos, 1 Lulav, and 1 Esrog. That's what's necessary. And the Mishnah goes on, referring to the Hadas, it says, Afilu Shnayim Ketumim V'Echod Eino Kotum. Rabbi Shmuel says, even if you have 2 whose tips are chopped off, and 1 that is complete, it's also kosher. You have three branches, 2 chopped off, 1 still complete, that's fine. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Afilu Shloshten Ketumin. Rabbi Tarfon says, even if all 3 are chopped off. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kishem Shalulav Echod, Vesur Gechod, Kach Hadas Acha Echod, V'Arova Achas. As far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, 1 of each is enough. The Rashi adds, as far as Rabbi Tarfon is concerned, where you can have even 3 with the tips chopped off, the concept of hodar, of being a beautiful, glorious, or pleasant, however you want to translate hodar, that is not applicable to the hadas. The Gemara. Tanya. And now we have a Tanaic source that elaborates on that which we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Pri Eitz Hadar, Achas, Echad. That's a reference to the, of course, the Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra that talks about the what we call the Lulav. So it mentions the 4 varieties. Pri Eitz Hadar, a reference to the Esrog, and it's in the singular. So it means 1. Kapois Tamorim, Echad. Now, the reason he says that is because it's not written with a vav. It's written in a what they call a choser fashion. So you could read it as kapas tamorim. Hence, it's also in the singular. Even though the reading is in the plural form, that's when we read it, when we vowelize it. But letter-wise, it appears in a singular form. So the tamorim is, of course, the date palm. So kapas tamorim is the lulav. And Anaf Eitz Avos. There are 3 words in this pasuk, and that indicates 3. Shloisha. Arve Nachal, Shtayim. Arve Nachal is a plural expression, and hence minimum plural is 2. 2 Arovas. Anaf Eitz Avos, of course, was the Hadasim. Now, referring to the Hadas, the source continues in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. V'afilu shnayim ktumim v'echot sheino kotum. With regard to the 3 hadasim, you can have 2 the tips chopped off and 1 complete, and that's okay. Rabbi Tarfon Omer shlosha. V'afilu shloshdan ketumim. You need to have 3, but all three can be with the tips chopped off. Rabbi Kiva Omer kishem shelulav echot v'esrog echot. Just like everyone agrees that the lulav and the esrog are singular, Rabbi Kiva's chiddush is that the hadas and the arova also are singular. Omar lo, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Lezer asks, Yochol Yehei Esrog Imohen Be'agudo Achas? Agudo is the binding together. So here his question is focused on the Esrog. Is the Esrog to be bound together with the Lulav, Hadasim, and Arovas in one binding? Amris, the answer is, V'chinemar, does it say in the Pasuk the following? And in fact, what we're going to read, so it doesn't say this, but does it say pre-Eitz Hador, which is the Esrog, V'kapas Tamorov? The Vav is a letter that in fact does not exist in this Pasuk. But if it were there, so the Vav connects. So you would be reading pre-Eitz Hador as the Esrog, together with the Kapas Tamorov of the Lulav, but it doesn't say that. V'alo lo ne'mar elo kapas, or kapos. The Pasuk is read, pre-Eitz Hador, kapos tamorim. There's no connection, there's no connector between the lulav and that which preceded it, the esrog. So the esrog stands separate from the lulav. U'minayin shema akvin zezeh, and from where do we know that all four varieties are necessary in order to be yotzei the mitzvah? In other words, you have to own and take each one of them. And if you're missing one of them, you're not yotzei. So from where do we know that? Talmud lomar ulakachtem shetehe lekicha tomo. It shall be a complete taking. That's tom means is a reference to something that's complete. So that you have to, if the Torah speaks about taking four species, you have to take all four. But as far as all four being bound together, the Esrog included, that we demonstrated is not the case. Now, the Gemara focuses on Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. The Rabbi Yishmael, now let's just review what he said. He spoke about three Hadasim, however two can be chopped off and one complete. The idea of a complete plant is illustrative of something being hodar, being nice. What exactly is Rabbi Shmuel's viewpoint on this matter? So Rabbi Shmuel, monavshach, ish shleimen boi, if he requires completeness, so the boi nami kulu, so all should be complete. And the arrow here is to enable you to connect this with what Rabbi Shmuel originally said, that you can have two chopped off and only one complete. So if he requires completeness, so all three should be that way. E lo boi shleiman, if they don't all have to be shleiman, so then afilu chad nami lo, so then you shouldn't require even one to be shalem. Omar Bira is a name, and we actually saw this name earlier in the Masichta in a very similar context of his reporting someone changing their mind, reversing their opinion. There was a reversal of the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer regarding Yudalit Sudas Besuke. Here, Bira tells us, Omar Rabbi Ami, quoting Rabbi Ami, Chozar Bo Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, in fact, reversed his position, and he says all you need is one, however, it must be complete. And because he does require Hodar. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon. Shmuel rules like Rabbi Tarfon that you have to have three Hadasim, but they can all be chopped off at the top. V'ozda Shmuel itamei, and Shmuel here in ruling like Rabbi Tarfon is consistent with what he has said on another occasion. The Omar Luhu Shmuel Ano de Mizavni Asa. Shmuel addressed Asa vendors, and he told them, Ashvu Uzavinu, lower your prices. Some things just never change, I guess. So he insisted, lower your prices, and then sell the Elo, and if you don't lower your prices, Darishna Lahu, I am going to publicly announce Karebi Tarfon. I'm going to make a public announcement that the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon. My taima, why? Ilema mishum demekel, if by ruling like Rabbi Tarfon, you are offering a ruling of leniency, and that would increase the supply of hadassim, namely even chopped off hadassim would be kosher. So velidrosh lehukar Rabbi Akiva demekal tvei, why doesn't Shmuel threaten them with ruling like Rabbi Akiva, who's even more lenient? He says all you need is one complete hadas. So the Gemara answers, in fact, ruling like Rabbi Tarfon is more lenient. Tlosa ketumi shrichi. It's easier to find three chopped off hadasim. Chad v'lo kotum lo shriach. But one hadas that is not kotum, but rather complete, is not as common. So what do we see from here? We see that Shmuel, Paskins, like letter of the law, is like Rabbi Tarfon, and Shmuel was able to. And we see that Shmuel threatening the vendors with a public announcement to follow Rabbi Tarfon. Here, it's you can speculate that the public was not completely aware of the halacha being like Rabbi Tarfon, and they were trying to and they were buying nice complete hadassim. And Shmuel said, if you want to continue selling your nice complete hadassim, you had better sell them at a cheaper price. Otherwise, I'm going to let it be known publicly that you don't even need to have complete hadassim to begin with. You can get away with having three chopped off hadassim, and that would then flood the market with many, many more hadassim branches. Thereby, the prices would fall anyway. The Mishnah, and on the side, you can see we're introducing this with a heading, topic heading, Dine Esrog. The Mishnah here opens very similar in a similar way to a number of the previous Mishnayos. The different problems with the arba minim, with the different the species that we use for the mitzvah of lulav, esrog hagozel v'avyovesh posel, if it's stolen or dry, it's unfit. Shel asher v'shel ir hanidachas posel, if it is from an idolatrous tree, a tree worshipped in idolatry, or from a city that was guilty of idol worship, that's an ir hanidachas. So an esrog coming from there is posel. Shel orlo posel, if it's from an esrog tree during its first 3 years of growth, it's unfit. Shel truma tamea posel, if it was tithed as truma and it became tome, became defiled, so you can't use it for the mitzvah of lulav. Shel truma tahora lo yitol v'im notal kosher, if it was an esrog that was tithed as the truma tithe. The truma tithe is given to a kohen, and it hasn't become defiled. So you shouldn't use it as a first choice. But if you did, it's kosher, it's acceptable. Shel demai, if you have an esrog that was tithed as demai. What is demai? If a person purchases produce from an ignoramus, an amoretz, and the amoretz is someone who is not fully trustworthy in tithing, so the rabbis said you should tithe just to cover all bases in the event that he didn't tithe. So now you're tithing. Midorabonon, this is required. Midoraisa, we say that rov amoratzim tithe, that the majority tithe, but this is a rabbinic stringency to do a demai tithe. So an esrog that was part of this kind of rabbinic tithing, Beis Shammai poison u Beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Shammai says it's unacceptable to be used for the mitzvah of lulav, and Beis Hillel says it's okay. Shel meiser sheni b'Yerushalayim lo yitol v'im notal kosher. Very similar to the way we approached truma tahora, we approach meiser sheni. Well, what's meiser sheni? 1/10 of one's produce, what of one's harvest, in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, of the sabbatical cycle, 10% of a person's produce he is supposed to tithe and take, bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Let us say you have an esrog that was part of the Meiser Sheni tithe and you're in Yerushalayim. Can you use it for the mitzvah of lulav? So the Mishnah says it's best not to use it, but if you did, so it's kosher. We should have our Pirush Chai, the illustration book, available. And in illustration 546, also Chazosis al Rubo, Nitlo Pimnoso, Niklaf Nistak, Nike Vachoser Kolshu Pasu. There's a list of things that would render the Esrog unkosher. So if we go over this list, 546 is an illustration in which you can see a number of different, say, aspects of the esrog. So you see a chazos, this is a type of growth on the surface. Rashi says kemin ababuos dakos, it appears as small abubos or bubbles or boils that are on the esrog. Some type of protrusion or growth on the face of the esrog is a chazosis. Our Mishnah says that if the chazosis appears al rubo, in our Mishnah you see with the markings we've double underlined rubo and contrasted that with miuto. So if the chazosis appears on rove of the surface, so that would render it unfit. Nitla pitmosu, you can see in the illustration the pitum, the tip of the esrog. It's that pitum is basically when the esrog was in its blossoming stage. So that's we'll call the remnant of the blossom that is attached to the esrog. So if that is cut off now, just to be careful, so people don't confuse this in the realm with the realm of halacha lemaisa. There's a difference between a case where that pitum naturally falls off in the growing process. That's not what we are talking about here. We're talking about a case of an esrog that was harvested with the pitum on it, and then after it was harvested, the pitum was removed. So that is unkosher. Renders it unfit. The Mishnah also mentioned niklaf. That has to do with it's being peeled. Of course, the Gemara will deal with these things in greater detail. Nistak is cracked. Nike v'choser kolshehu in illustration 548. So you can see in the aleph an example of a hole made in the esrog and part of the meat is missing. And now we continue in the mission with each one of these points, but contrasted. Also, chazosis al miuto. If the chazosis surface growth, appears on only a minority of the esrog, notal uktso. The uktso we saw in illustration 547, at the bottom of, or 546, on page 109, the bottom, the stem, the oikets, that's where it was growing from on the tree. The stem, at that point, it's the oikets is the stem that remains attached to the esrog. So if that is removed, notal uktso, Nike v'lo chaser kosher, or a hole is made without any diminishing of the esrog, just a piercing type hole as opposed to a hole where substance is missing. So these are kosher. So just reading the list again that are kosher, we say also chazosis al miuto, notal uktso, Nike v'lo chaser kosher. Esrog hakushi posel. This is something that will be a point of discussion in the Gemara, but for the time being, Rashi, the second line from the bottom, says, Hakushi shibo me'eretz kush. v'shochar hu. Now this Rashi is, as I said, is something that is it's loaded. There's what to elaborate, but we're not going to do it right now. We're going to wait for the Gemara. But for superficial purposes, we'll just say that esrog hakushi is to a black esrog. That's unfit. Hayorok kakarsi. Karsi is a type of vegetation that's has a deep green color to it. So if it's yorok kakarsi, then Rabbi Meir Machshir Rabbi posel. That is a machlokes tanoim. We have a marking to contrast the term koton with godol, and the Gemara says shir esrog hakoton, the minimum size. So it was machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer ke'egos, the minimum size is that of a nut, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer kebeitza, of an egg. Ubagodol, maximum size, kedesh sheyechos shnayim biyodo divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It should be maximum size is as long as you can hold two in one hand. If you can't hold two in one hand, then it's a sign that the esrog is too large. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yosi Omer afilu echod b'shtei yodov. This could be a massive size esrog. That means even if you would need two hands to hold one esrog, it's still kosher. The Gemara will elaborate in detail on each one of the items mentioned in the Mishnah. Mirtz Hashem, in our next shiur, we'll be able to get into that. In the meantime, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.